this get made? Hey, everybody, welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? Boy, oh boy, we got some changes. We got some announcements. We got shit to get to today. Number one, if you're coming out to our live shows July 19th in Los Angeles at Largo, I want to let you know that the theme of the night is sweaty Italian men and sequins. Ooh, what could that mean? Well, it means that our 8 o'clock show is Staying Alive and our 10 p.m. show is Rhinestone. So you'll be seeing a lot of sweaty Italian men and sequins on that night. Just a reminder, the 8 o'clock show is sold out. There are a few tickets left for the 10 p.m. show. So buy your tickets today at LargoLA.com and bring some spending cash with you, because we have a very special, cool, one-of-a-kind, How Did This Get Made thing. Merch. We have merch for the show, and you can't get it anywhere else but at the live show. So we're very excited about that. Come by July 19th. Come and see us. Come see both. Two amazing guests. I'm very excited about it, but I'm not going to tell you who. Ooh, mystery. All right. You can always follow us at HDTGM on Twitter for updates, although I just gave you an update right there. So there you go. Secondly, you can tell that the mic is working. For the first time, these mini episodes sound better than shit. In the past, I know it sounded like I was at the bottom of that well in Silence of the Lambs screaming up with the guy with the lotion, but no longer. Now it sounds way better. So I appreciate all your guys' help about how to fix the microphone. We finally figured it out, and now it is working. Also, we're back, motherfuckers. That's right. How Did This Get Made is back every single week. We'll be in your ear holes again. Thank you guys so much for bearing with us as we kind of figured out how to adjust and give you the best show possible. So you guys have been amazing. Also, big thanks to everyone who's been helping me online with all of the amazing howdies. That's our How Did This Get Made award show. You guys have been fantastic, and those shows are coming up in August. So we're very excited about that. Also, today, brand new segments. Segments suggested by you. Segments suggested by myself. So that's exciting. The show's getting bigger. You're getting more for free. Can't beat that. But there's one thing that we all have to talk about, and that is the movie for next week. A movie starring Hulk Hogan as a caretaker. And you can imagine that if Hulk Hogan was a nanny, things would get a little bit crazy. That's right. We're seeing Mr. Nanny, the 1993 comedy film where Hulk Hogan decides to be a babysitter for a group of mischievous kids. The villain is David Johansen, Buster Poindexter, the guy who thinks hot, hot, hot. That is the villain in the movie. Holy cow. One of my favorite episodes. We have a great guest for that. That was recorded live at Largo a couple months ago. And get ready. Get ready for some amazing entertainment. Your question to me is, Paul, tell me more. And I'm going to say to you, no. Listen to some more. Listen to the trailer for Mr. Nanny.
He's wrestled the biggest and the baddest. But now he's about to face...
What the heck was that?
The toughest fight of all. Kids.
All you have to do is protect them.
I hate kids.
Just when we get rid of the last nanny, he brings home a bodyguard.
I don't want anything to happen to Sean.
What can possibly happen?
They're small.
I hope your Blue Cross is paid up.
I can handle myself.
They're mean.
Electromagnetic.
And they've got the place wired.
It's only low voltage. Can't kill him. I think we're getting to him.
I can't believe this fearless giant is cowering because of two little innocent children.
They would do anything to get rid of him.
Oops, tripwire. And flower.
I've had it.
And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, real trouble showed up.
Like the family I never had. Never wanted.
And left.
I'll feed us in.
With the kids. Now, he's got to bring them back. Because he's not just a babysitter. He's Mr. Nanny.
Gotta admit, he's one tough mother.
I got a job to do and I'm doing it.
You have to kiss Dolly.
I don't kiss dollies.
Kiss her.
Don't tell anybody I did that.
New Line Cinema presents Hulk Hogan.
Both of you, to the principal's office.
Man, some things never change.
As you've never seen him before.
Keep the back straight. Make the arms a bow.
Mr. Nanny. He's no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Get that pinky up.
Oh boy. I'm going to tell you that your 84 minutes that you spend watching this may be the best 84 minutes that you spend in your entire life. That's right. Entire life. These are the best 84 minutes. Maybe that's a little bit high praise, but you get to see some great acting in this. You get to see some great stunts. Sherman Helmsley at the top of his game. If you're a fan of the TV show Amen or the Jeffersons, you're gonna see Sherman in a little bit of a different light. It's going to be fun for you guys to see. oh, man. Who's referenced Amen? No one. No one talks about Amen as a classic show. I watch it every weekend. All right. New segment on the show. Love it, hate it, and love to hate it. Guys, there's a new segment on the show. I'm going to tell you something I loved, something I hated, and something that I love to hate. First off, a movie starring How Did This Get Made's own Jason Mantzoukas. It's called They Came Together with Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd. Loved it. It's on VOD. You can see it in theaters around the country. Go to theycametogether.com to find out where. But you can get it on VOD. Just go to your Apple iTunes. Check this shit out and watch it. It's so damn good. It's so funny. David Wayne, Michael Showalter wrote it. David Wayne directed it. Everybody in it is just amazing. Big thumbs up to that. Love to hate it. This is what I'm going to talk about right now. Holy shit. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I am a huge Bachelor fan. Giant. Love The Bachelor. And there is no one I love more on The Bachelor than Courtney Robertson. You remember her as the meanest Bachelor person on the show. She was terrible to Ben Flanick. I don't know. She was terrible to everybody. She wrote a book called I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends. And this book is great. I mean, it's terrible and it's great. I can't stop reading it. As a matter of fact, I read it to my child to go to bed because he doesn't understand English. He just needs to hear words come together. This book is crazy. There's a chapter about her just getting fingered in high school. Who writes a book about getting fingered in high school? It's great. I'm only about 30% in according to my Kindle, but every page is amazing and you will love to hate it. Did I hate anything this week? No. I haven't watched anything that I've really, really hated. So that category is staying empty right now. Love to hate and love to love. They Came Together, David Wayne's new movie, and Courtney Robertson's book. Well, why am I wasting my time reading that piece of junk? Courtney Robertson's book, I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends. Get them both. Enjoy them on two different levels. Oh, you know what? I don't know if I told you this. Mr. Nanny is available to rent. You can get it on Google Play. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Vudu. You know the drill. You'll find it. But it's right on YouTube. It's really easy. Like, I think for $2.99. Okay. It is now time for Corrections and Omissions, part of the show, where we get schooled by you. You guys left comments on our earwolf.com message board telling us things that we might have missed or things that we plainly glossed over when we talked about the American classic Easy Rider 2, The Ride Back. And guys, again, I apologize for making you watch that. And if you want to blame anyone, you can blame Nathan Rabin, who was the Onion's entertainment editor for a long time. He called me up and he told me, Paul, you need to talk about Easy Rider 2. He wrote an amazing essay on it that I read after we did our episode. And he actually wrote a brand new book called You Don't Know Me, But You Don't Like Me, Fish, Insane Clown Posse, and My Misadventures with Two of Music's Most Malign Tribes. I read this book too, and it's great. It's just basically about going into the world of Fish fans and ICP fans. And you know, he comes out with a different appreciation for him. I'm a big fan of Nathan Rabin, and you can blame him for Easy Rider 2. So send your vitriol to him because he made us watch it. But also pick up his book because it's really good. All right, corrections and omissions. Here we go.
We're sorry to tell you that you were wrong. And here's some things you just didn't touch on. So check your facts before they become corrections and omissions.
The first one actually comes from our very own intern, Avril Halley. She pulls this amazing thing out here. In the episode, we were talking about the wife's suicide and how it came out of nowhere, and we were wondering if there's any mention of this in the original Easy Rider. Well, she found this. It's a little sad, but interesting. I bet the director of the sequel wrote this, wrote in the mom's suicide because of this. For the famous soliloquy that Peter Fonda does in the cemetery while tripped out on acid, director Dennis Hopper asked Peter to talk to the statue as if he were talking to his mother, who died of a suicide when Peter was 10 years old. Peter didn't want to do it. He'd never confronted his feelings about his mother, but Hopper insisted, which is why you hear Peter call the statue mother, and he states that he both loves her and hates her, which expresses his conflicted emotions. This scene persuaded Bob Dylan to allow the use of his song It's All Right, Ma, in one of the final scenes, which contains the lyrics referencing the suicide. Peter told Dylan, I need to hear those words, and he agreed to use it. So that is why the suicide came out of nowhere. All right, well, now that's some context, and some dark context, if that. Okay, what else do we got? All right, big thing that everyone reached out and told me on Twitter and on our Facebook page was that the brothers, Virgil, Wyatt, and Morgan, are the name of the Earp brothers from the Old West and the movie Tombstone, of course, the classic movie. Why are they named after the Earp brothers? I have no freaking clue. I mean, obviously, this guy loves Easy Rider, the new school cowboys, and loves the old school cowboys. Oh, wait a second, though. I just realized something. If he loves the Earp brothers, then that must mean that maybe deep inside this guy, he's going to make a Tombstone 2, like in 60 years. And we'll get to see like Doc Holliday's brother and the return of Kurt Russell's mustache. Why did I say mustache? I like it. Mustache instead of mustache. Tombstone, great movie. Let's have a sequel of it in about 45 more years. Valerie Blasé pointed out a very easy system to keep track of the characters in this movie, because if you're like most people, you've fallen asleep 2 to 3 times during the film. So when you want to talk about the guy who was in Vietnam, you think about V, Vietnam, Virgil. When you want to talk about the guy who hid in Mexico, think M, Mexico, Morgan. And when you want to think about the sister, you go S, sister, Shane. That's probably how the screenwriter actually kept track of everything. Jack Nicholson does die in Easy Rider. Did not know that. Now I do. Now you guys know it too. So no reason to watch Easy Rider 1. As many of you wrote in, you are not fans of Easy Rider. So maybe we misremembered it. And finally, Elitist Prick writes, this might be a nitpicky thing, but whatever. This is a podcast about weird shit in movies, so here we go. In the scene where Wild Bill is telling his kids about who Jackie Robinson is and how he's the first colored man in baseball, they're listening to a radio broadcast of the Dodgers winning the World Series for the first time. In the background, you can hear the announcer say, and at last, the Dodgers are world champions. Okay, the Dodgers won their first World Series in 1955, a full 6 years after Jackie Robinson debuted in 1949. Not only had he been an all-star and a superstar athlete in that time, including winning the MVP in 1949, but he broke the color barrier and was obviously a major national news story, becoming one of the seminal events in all of sports history and a landmark for the civil rights movement. Now, this is not new information. For a dad to let his kids know in 1955 who Jackie Robinson was, it would be like if LeBron James was named Person of the Year by Time Magazine for finally apprehending Joseph Kony, and these sports-loving boys still didn't know who he was. Maybe Wild Bill kept his kids sequestered and hidden away on that farm, away from all of civilization, indoctrinating them in his own twisted moral philosophy, like a more racially tolerant, motorcycle-loving Fred Phelps, but who knows? Elitist Prick, holy shit. You win the correction and omission of the week, hands down. I mean, you listened hard, and anyone who came up with the analogy of LeBron James being named Person of the Year by Time Magazine for apprehending Joseph Kony just takes it in my book. So, Close the door on corrections and omissions. We're done here. Leaders Prick, great job. All right, that finishes up corrections and omissions. If you ever want to leave a correction and omission for us, just go to earwolf.com, go to the How Did This Get Made part of that website, and leave a message on our message board under the appropriate movie. It sounds really complicated when I lay out all the steps like that, but it's not at all. Just go to the message boards. We love to read them. And now it's time for a brand new segment. These are segments suggested by you and performed by me. All right, so Bolt Vanderhuge, he has a suggestion for the show where after we watched a movie, we asked the question, could Nick Cage have made this movie better or worse? Okay, well, I'm going to say that if Nick Cage was in this movie, it would have been better. Why? Because I think the acting would have been really stepped up. Now, here's how I'm going to go out on a limb. I think Nick Cage should have totally Norbited this movie, which means he should be all the characters in it. And that's probably more Nutty Professor than Norbit, but he should be all the characters, and that would be great. So Nick Cage playing Peter Fonda, playing Peter Fonda's brother, playing all the characters. And then I think we have a movie that is not only a classic, but maybe even better than the original Easy Rider. I don't know. America, let's make this happen. Let's get this script to Nick Cage and have him play multiple parts. There is yet to be, I mean, there's one Nick Cage movie where he plays multiple parts, and that was amazing, Adaptation. So maybe we can have him do some more adaptation style movies. I want to see Nick Cage play the villain and the good guy. But for this, there are no villains. There are no good guys. There's just a lot of talking. Alexander Karut writes, Paul, why don't you read the IMDb keywords associated with the last movie? Now, this, I think, is actually a great assignment. I'm going to do that right here. So these are the keywords, and they're bizarre, that are associated with Easy Rider on IMDb. Some you get: motorcycle, Easy Rider, sequel, hippie. But ones that are a little bit weird: aviator sunglasses, dark humor, life-changing decision, female bartender, Pink Floyd t-shirt, Stone Bridge, and finally, avant-garde. Those are some of the keywords that are associated with this movie. I think the weirdest keyword to me has to be Pink Floyd t-shirt. Who is watching a movie going like, ah, does it have a Pink Floyd t-shirt? I gotta catch up on all my Pink Floyd t-shirt movies. Oh boy. All right. So that's that. Let's close up that two new sections of the show. Thank you so much, Bolt Vanderhuge and Alexander Karit. And now it is time to go to viewer mail. Viewer mail, these are questions sent in by you. You give me Q's, I give you A's, and I mispronounce your names. Joe Lawson writes, beat it or eat it. Bro, I do it both. I beat it, then I eat it. That's because I eat egg beaters. No, beat it or eat it. Well, I guess, man, you got to eat it, man. Take a fall on your face instead of running away from your challenges. That's the name of my new book. I'm a self-help guru. Beat it or eat it. You know, some dummy probably has that as like a book. I'm sure it's a Kindle single somewhere. Agil Andresson writes, if you had to make a new Ernest movie, what would you title it? Okay, great, great question. I would title it Ernest Goes to the Speaker of the House, or Ernest is Speaker of the House. I don't know, something about that, because I feel like we got to get Ernest involved in politics. And we have him kind of win a local election because his name sounds similar to an incumbent who's passed away. He rises through the ranks because it's very much like a being there kind of thing where, you know, he says dumb shit, but then people are like, no, that's really smart. And then he rises to the ranks, he becomes the Speaker of the House, and he starts passing crazy ass laws. And eventually that would spin off into the sequel, which is Ernest for President, and then the final movie, which would be Ernest Ex-President, which would be an assassination attempt on Ernest. It's a trilogy. I'm talking to people about it right now. We need a new Ernest. Clark Steven writes, will we ever get a behind-the-scenes video of the work that goes into making an episode? Clark, I think that would be the most boring documentary that anyone would ever watch. It would be a lot of Googling. It would be a lot of just cutting and pasting, printing out, people at home and or on iPads watching movies. This is not an exciting documentary. This is not like Dear Zachary or, you know, the West Memphis 3 documentaries. This is boring stuff. Just imagine in your mind's eye Googling and watching a movie with a pen and paper, and you got it. Jeremy Ondov writes, why do you do me that way? Because, Jeremy, I like to push away the people who challenge me, because then I hope that you want to come closer to me. It's my own personal thing. So get out of here, but come close. Helen Williams Chaffins writes, whatever happened to slip and slides? Helen, I was thinking about this shit the other day. That's the most dangerous object you could possibly have in the world. All right, first of all, children, they're breakable to a certain extent. Then you're going to put down basically a giant banana peel in your backyard, lube it up with water, and then make kids run on it, go head first into a tiny little pool of water. This is a bone-breaking thing. Slip and slide should be outlawed. Look, I'm all for fun. I love my slip and slide. But do you remember like sliding on it and then going off and getting that grass burn on your belly? That's not fun. I imagine slip and slides are responsible for 80% of the head injuries in the world. The other 20 are NFL. But that's pretty high. So I imagine that slip and slides and the NFL are going back to back for concussion rates. That's a dangerous, dangerous toy. If you have a slip and slide for your child, you should really rethink that. Just buy them a pool and push them in it. You don't need them to be running on their belly. I mean, hell, I don't even like to do big ass water slides where I'm on my belly. This thing is set up in your backyard. You're on concrete. There might be a stone underneath it. Going head first, you're going to fly out of that pool, especially if you're a fat kid. Fat kids always fly out of that little pool at the end. Jonathan Jones writes, who should play Tommy Wiseau in the movie of The Disaster Artist? You can get anyone except the real Tommy. I hate to break it to you, Jonathan. Did you hear? Dave Franco is playing Tommy Wiseau in The Disaster Artist. It's going to be amazing. Dave Franco, awesome. There's pictures of them together online. I cannot wait for that movie. That book, another great book. Guys, there's so many great books I'm recommending to you. Get out there. Start reading. Nate Patterson writes, how does one find the area of a right triangle? My answer to you is why? Who cares? Okay? What world do you need to figure out that the area of a right triangle? Okay? I'm in the podcast biz, bro. I don't need to know how to do math. Okay? And no one does. No one's figuring out. If you have to ask, you don't need to know. Only the people that are super smart. And engineers trying to figure that out, making some sort of plastic teepee or something. We don't need to do that. Leave that to the smart people. We're talking about shitty movies. I can't be figuring out the area of a right triangle. But if you're really going to put me on the spot, I would say just multiply the base by the height and then divide it by two. Okay, so just get that out of the way. And Cody Lee Garrett writes, fuck, marry, kill. How I Met Your Mother. How Did This Get Made? How to Train Your Dragon. Well, easy. Marry, How Did This Get Made? Because look, we're already committed to each other. How I Met Your Mother? Gotta kill it. It's already dead. It's done. And who the fuck? How to Train Your Dragon, y'all. Because that dragon is crazy. He's going to have some good times fucking that dragon. Craig Falkenham writes, next year, will the world look like the future that Marty McFly traveled to in 2015 in Back to the Future Part 2? Craig, I hate to break this to you. Yes, it will. It will totally look that way. In the next 2 months, something crazy is going to happen. I'm not at liberty to say, but a time traveler from the future is going to come, bring his hover cars. They're going to make a bunch of Jaws movies. Things are happening, okay? Hill Valley will never be the same. Unfortunately, only Hill Valley will look like that. Everywhere else will look just like now. So sad. Sorry to break it to you. But if you want to move to Hill Valley, do it quick, because in a couple of months, shit's going to go down. And things are happening. Flying cars. How does it? I never understood if flying cars got into an accident in the sky, where the fall off would be, where people are getting killed by, like, you know, license plates or like rear view mirrors falling from the sky. I don't know, guys. These are the things that keep me up at night. Brett Armstrong writes, is Jason still in The Dictator? I'm going to do some research on it, Brett. I'm going to get back to you about it. I don't know if he's still in Dictator, because now he's in They Came Together, so it can go either way. This is tough. I don't know. All right, that's all we have for viewer mail. Let's close up that viewer mailbag. Zip. If you guys want to make any songs for these segments, please feel free. And if you ever want to ask a question or get it answered by me, just go on our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page. It's How Did This Get Made? It's easy to find. You can find it. Guys, if you haven't bought a How Did This Get Made t-shirt, please do so. It's based on the Daredevil movie, and it's pretty badass. I like it a lot. Also, if you like Austin Mahone, I did a Funny or Die video with him, and you can check out that Funny or Die video. Just type in Austin Mahone, Paul Scheer. You'll see the magic that we did together. It was pretty amazing. As always, I like to tell everybody, please rate and review this show on iTunes if you listen to the show that way, because then it helps listings and all that kind of good stuff. And if you ever want to send us anything, you can send it to Earwolf Media, LLC, P.O. Box 1421, Los Angeles, California, 90078. That's P.O. Box 1421, Los Angeles, California, 90078. We always appreciate whatever you guys send us, except if it's poison or something scary. We don't appreciate that. No snakes in the box, like in that movie Talk Radio, or I think that was a dead rat. Just again, Mr. Nanny is the movie next week. It will be a Live from Largo episode. We're back, y'all, next week. Think about that. You can get it anywhere that I told you. That's iTunes. You can get it Amazon. You can get it Google Play. You can get it Vudu. A big thanks to Nate Kylie, who's always killing it, just helping me out with these episodes. And Leanna Waldron, who designed an amazing, amazing picture that you can see on our Facebook page of Italian men, sweaty Italian men in sequins. So always give it up to her. And give it up to all you guys for listening. I hope you enjoy the good mic quality that we're having right now. And send me new segments, and I'll continue to give you things that I love, love, hate to love, and hate, hate. I will talk to you guys later. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.